9 months ago, whatever, when I was at work. And everyone was like, oh, did you feel the earthquake? I was like, I don't know what the fuck you were talking about. I don't know. Stupid. Stupid earthquakes.
Always getting in the fucking way.
You know what? I'm glad I didn't feel it. Because you're going to go on the book, and everyone's just going to be like, oh, I felt an earthquake. Oh, my God. The house was shaking, and then it wasn't. And it's like, who cares?
Who gives a shit?
I don't.
It was an earthquake.
I'd rather not feel it.
Nothing serious happened.
You say. Maybe someone's dead. That would be hilarious.
I started recording, but now I think I'm going to cut this part out.
Oh, a bookcase fell on my mother. That would be a bad way to go. Bookcase accident.
You want to actually get into it? Because that voice reminded me of something.
Okay, yeah, let's go.
Welcome to But You're Wrong, episode 36. I'm Keith Bodela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
I thought you forgot for a second. There was a much longer pause than usual, and I was like, oh my God, he forgot his name.
I mean, I've done that before. That wouldn't be the first time I forgot my name. I referred to myself as Keith Bodela several episodes back.
But at least you said a name.
He's saying maybe I would have forgot. I just completely forgot my name.
Yeah. All of a sudden, there was an earthquake, and all of a sudden you just had amnesia. And you were like, I don't know who I am.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking about, this big earthquake that everyone's all upset about. It's not really, no one's upset, but I guarantee I'm going to go on the Facebook right now. Everyone's just going to be like, oh my God, the dishes in my cabinet were rattling. I had a glass of water and it was shaking. It was like Jurassic Park.
I thought there was a dinosaur, but there wasn't. Really, dinosaur is the first thing you thought of, lady? Well, you know, I really like that Jurassic Park. Jeff Goldblum's my favorite.
That Jeff Goldblum's fantastic.
He's so dreamy.
Yeah, let's see on the book. Oh, yep, all sorts of people. Oh, there was definitely an earthquake. Oh, my God. I don't care. I don't give a shit about earthquakes and or natural disasters.
The only earthquake that I'm really going to care about is going to be the one that takes a chunk of California and sends it into the ocean, because we're one step closer to escape from L.A. then. And Kurt Russell is just going to put on an eye patch and go charging in after somebody, I don't know who.
You know what? I'm not even sure of the plot of that one. Was he trying to save, like, the... Because the president was in the first one. And he was trying to get the president out of L.A.
I thought it was the president's daughter.
I thought it was the president in the first one.
Let's see. Escape from New York. No, you're right. Okay, yeah. He's supposed to find the president.
Now, Escape from L.A., I have no idea.
If I saw that one, I don't remember it at all. I might have just seen a trailer, because I feel like there's a part where he's, like, surfing on lava. I could be making this up, but...
Huh. Now, maybe you're thinking of Tommy Lee Jones in the movie Volcano?
No, I'm pretty sure that he did.
Sorry,
not.
I couldn't even say that without laughing.
Let's see.
That movie also sucked.
So should we... I started recording already, but should we address what just happened? Because it was such a pain in the ass. So while I'm trying to look up the plot to Escape from L.A., we kept getting disconnected, reconnected, calls dropped, whole bunch of shit, but I think we're good now.
Yeah, I think we're okay. I don't know. Maybe Skype was just being weird.
Maybe people were panicking because of the earthquake.
Oh, the earthquake. I love it.
The earthquake fucked the internet.
I hope it fucked someone. Someone just got railed in the ass because of this earthquake.
I don't even know what to say to that.
You don't know?
No, I have nowhere to go with that joke. So plot to escape from LA. The synopsis I got before I had to restart was something about a key to like a weapon or something like that. So I think, and Cliff Robertson, who was Uncle Ben in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie. Uncle Ben became president for like life, and there was some kind of a super weapon, and Snake Plissken had to do something. I don't know. That's all I got, and I was like, this is way too long, and it's not telling me anything. So, I think I was getting the president's daughter from that movie. I think it's Lockout.
The one that came out this year.
I haven't seen it, but it's got Maggie Grace and
Elijah Wood.
No, Guy Pearce. There's no way Elijah Wood is starring in an action movie.
He was in the Lord of the Rings.
All he did was walk and run away.
He was Mr. Frodo. Give a little bit of credit.
He walked. How much action did he really see? He was scared all the time.
I mean,
and he had fucking Rudy the Hobbit look making eyes at him, trying to suck his dick.
You mean Samwise?
Whatever. I hate that fucking guy.
You don't like Samwise?
I don't like that actor, to be more specific, whatever his name is. Austin. Something Austin? Sean Austin?
Sean Austin.
Yeah, I don't like him.
But he was in, wasn't he in the Goonies?
I don't really like the Goonies that much.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's good, but it's, I don't...
Well, you know,
I don't hold the Goonies up to the same level that everybody else does. But then again, you know, I'm thinking about it, as we talked about before. Like, I watched, like, MacGyver and, like, Remington Steele and A-Team and stuff with a lot more action when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So, like, I saw the Goonies and I was like, it's kind of boring. Like, where's the gunplay? Where's the explosions? I don't see any of that.
I did really like it when I was younger. It does negatively depict Italian Americans, especially Sloth. But I don't know. You know what? To be completely honest, I have not watched the Goonies in quite a number of years. I think the last time I watched it, I was in college. I think maybe I need to watch it again before I really throw all my love behind it, as much as I do remember loving it.
Yeah, I mean, I have heard people say that they don't like it as much after they view it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a short round.
Yeah, I the thing is, I think because, like we said, I was watching older, more adult entertainment. I was watching, you know, more primetime shows.
What a hot shit.
Like, the Goonies never really appealed to me as much, though.
Yeah. No, I guess so. I mean, it's stupid fun.
I've meant to go back and watch it, and I've seen part of it on TV, like the beginning part again, where they find the map. And Sean Austin in that first part where he drops like the fucking, where they're talking about the map. I don't know. It's so bad. I was like, guys, are you kidding me? We got to do this. We got to do it. It'll be amazing, guys. And he plays my biggest problem with him is that when I first watched the movie Rudy, before I knew that it was based on an actual person.
Yeah.
I thought he was playing Rudy. I thought that Rudy was supposed to be somebody who was mentally challenged.
I thought so too, actually, for a while.
I was like, So Rudy's retarded? And they're like, no, no, not at all.
He's just kind of little.
Oh. But the way he's played, I don't know. He seems really slow. And
yeah, dumb. I was going to say, he seems slow.
He seems like he's pretty messed up. Now, I looked it up. I think he just had, like, dyslexia or something like that. Like, the actual Rudy had, like, a minor learning disability.
Yeah. That Rudy's a real wadahead.
But he wasn't as bad as I thought he was in the movie.
Yeah, he wasn't quite the burden on his parents he thought he was.
Yeah.
Like, another movie I have not watched in quite a long time.
I probably only seen it twice, if that. I think I probably only saw the whole thing once, and I've probably seen bits and pieces here and there, but, like, I don't know. I just feel like Sean Austin isn't that good of an actor, and he just comes across as, like, the same dumb Rudy character in Lord of the Rings as he is in Rudy. So, like, I'm just like, well, you know. He's just an idiot.
Yeah, he's not my favorite. I did like him as Samwise, but I mean, you know what? Especially when those movies came out, I just ate it all up.
The Lord of the Rings.
I just fucking loved it. Yeah.
I mean, I like the movies, and he's fine. He's fine in the movies, but like, there is something to be said about. Do you ever see Clerks 2?
Yeah.
The part where they're disputing Star Wars or Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
And he's like, well, all they did in Lord of the Rings was walk. And he does the impression and he just kind of, he just walks. And then the second one, he walks and he trips a little bit. Yeah. And then the third one, he walks some more and then he just drops it in.
Yep.
That's fairly accurate. Not to say that they're not good movies and I don't like them, but that's fairly accurate.
There is a lot of walking in those movies.
Yeah. I mean, why didn't they just... The birds at the end, why didn't they just fly those things over the volcano and just drop it in?
I don't know. It seems a little too easy and lazy. Plus, they were also books.
Yeah, but I think the birds were in the books at the end, too. I think the birds just shouldn't have been in at all. No birds.
Yeah, but, you know, the story was written for a book. It wasn't written for a 3-hour movie.
Oh, that's true. I'm just saying, cut the birds out.
Okay. All right.
Give them no flight ability whatsoever.
Yeah. That's legit.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, yeah, I think my favorite comment to the whole when he was doing that impression was they're just talking about it, and he was like, there's only one return, and it's of the Jedi. Which Randall's love for Return of the Jedi always bothered me. Not love for it, but just loving too much of it.
Yeah.
But I do agree.
Yeah,
I'm still a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one that I watched as a kid, so it has a special fondness. Even Return of the Jedi does.
Oh, of course. Even though it is kind of stupid.
Yeah. With the fucking Ewoks, but...
Yeah, the teddy bear picnic, as Harrison Ford called it.
Mm. Or the 40 minutes in the fucking Jabba's palace.
Oh, there's nothing more useless.
Yeah, we won't talk about that again. We already talked about that in, I think it was 11. We already brought that up. If you want to know our thoughts on Return of the Jedi, especially the beginning in Jabba's Palace, go to, I think it's 11. It's the Hutt Father.
Yeah.
Because we talk about that, and then we talk about Godfather.
Yeah, you can hear me go on a rant.
Yeah. All right. Can I give you a Colleen update?
Colleen?
Yeah, my mother? Mom. Yeah, my mom.
Oh, yeah, please.
Well, no, because we talked about it. I think a couple times in the last couple weeks, because it's been building, about her taking the first flight that she's done in, I think, about 30 years.
Oh, yes, because Colleen is not a fan of flying.
Yeah, well, she stopped flying around the time that my brother was born, or that she's pregnant with my brother, and I don't think she's been on a plane since then. She mm-hmm. might have once or twice, but definitely since then. My dad's flew for work and stuff, but like for whatever reason, we just didn't fly. And then after that, she just wasn't crazy about the idea.
Yeah.
Happy to say though, she completed her first flight in 30 years. So she landed safely. Everybody survived. It apparently wasn't that stressful.
It wasn't a big to do.
Well, she did have some Xanax help, but
Well, congratulations, Colleen.
Yeah, I'll make sure that she listens to this part. I'll say, just so you know, this is the part that we talked about.
Make a mom edited version.
Yeah.
My parents are currently in Las Vegas.
Oh, nice.
And they continuously are sending me pictures and texts. I don't know if they're trying to make me jealous or what, but they're just telling me how great of a time they're having.
Ah, good for them.
Yeah.
My mom hasn't done anything like that. She sent me a text and just said landed. Now, I told her what she should do is that when she gets off the plane and she's in the terminal, she should have my dad take a picture of her down on her knees, throwing her hands up in a victory pose, and then send that to me. But she didn't do it.
No.
Yeah.
It sounds like a platoon thing.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking she should do the pose that the guy did after the space jump.
Oh yeah.
And that was part of my pep talk to her. Did you see the space jump, or were you working?
I think I was working, or I might have been getting ready for work or something. I did not watch it when it happened. I did watch the video after, but the video I saw, like, they showed him going up a little bit, then they show him jumping, and it's like a point of view camera.
Oh yeah, like, I just watched that. Yeah.
Yeah, for like 30 seconds, and then they cut out the whole middle, and then they show him land. And I'm like, I kind of wanted to see the ground get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, not that I really wanted to watch for 9 minutes, but I felt like the whole video should have been there. And all I saw was him jump out, and then I saw him land. They cut out the whole middle.
There's got to be another video of it somewhere. But let me fill you in on what you missed. He starts going up in the balloon, and it takes him 2 hours to go up in a balloon.
Good.
Now, before that, he's been sitting in the capsule for a few hours. So he's just sitting in there. He's going up in the capsule. And my fiance goes, what if he has to go to the bathroom? And I go, he probably just goes in the suit. I think
he had a catheter.
Yeah, I think it's like a spaceman suit. So I think he just goes in the suit, and it either like goes in a little bag in the suit or goes somewhere else in the pod.
Yeah, pretty sure.
So they spent 2 hours going up, and they kept showing it, and they had it was really confusing because they were doing it. I guess they were doing the same feed around the world. So they were I don't want to say it was split screen because it was one image, but when they had like the time in the middle on either side, they had it in feet and then also in meters.
Okay.
But it was really confusing to me at first because they would do like, we'll say it was like 3.247 meters. And I was like, oh, he's up like 3 miles. But then I'm looking at the numbers and I'm going, well, that doesn't make sense. And then I realized it was meters. And in Europe, they do a period instead of a comma.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were split screening kind of like the data to show pressure and stuff like that. So he spends 2 hours going up. And they have an announcer basically like walking you through it. Like what's going on, different things that happened. And the guy that was talking to him was the guy who held the previous record for the highest free fall, Kittinger. Oh,
yeah, he was a U.S. Air Force pilot.
Yeah. So they had the guy, this guy Felix, Baumgartner had requested that he be the only one to talk to him, so there weren't a bunch of people trying to communicate with him. It was just that one guy talking to him and walking him through everything. So they're walking it through. At some point, they do like a practice run of a checklist, and they're checking different things. Now, his visor that he had a was wired to heat so that it wouldn't fog up or have ice build up when he was falling, as we know is a problem thanks to Iron Man.
Exactly.
You know, you gotta solve that icing problem.
But the dude did not realize that was a problem.
The dude did not, so the dude got fucked. They were troubleshooting that, and then they decided, because they realized it when he was like 118,000 feet into the air, that it wasn't working. Like, he was pretty far up, so they were like, well, let's just go for it. Like, we came this far.
At that point, you kind of screwed. You better just be ready to fucking jump.
Well, yeah, like they were like, because the other option was to delay the jump again, and then to have him disconnect from the balloon and have him return in the capsule with a parachute on the capsule.
Yeah.
And I guess the capsule, when it falls, it's plated on the bottom to absorb the impact, but it's not going to be like the nicest of landings.
Yeah, yeah.
So they just decide to go for it. And I forget the exact thing that the exact height that he jumped from. It was like 23 or 24 miles into the air. And they're like, okay, he's reached his altitude now. And I'm like, there's no way he's going to actually do it. Like, he can't. First of all, it's insane to do it to begin with, but stuff isn't working. But then they start going through the checklist, and they're walking him through everything.
Yeah.
And he's disconnecting hoses and moving stuff, and he's depressurizing, and the thing slides open, and I'm like, holy shit, he's really going to fucking do it. And they're showing it, and they're like, well, you know, at this point, he can see the curvature of the Earth and all this other stuff, and I'm like, son of a bitch, he's doing it. So he slides out of the capsule onto, like, a little platform, and he makes a speech, and I couldn't understand all of the speech, but something about, like, how being up there makes him realize how small we all are. And I think he said something like, and now I'm going home or something like that.
Who does he think he is, Neil Armstrong?
But, I mean, you have to say something, though.
I guess so. No, I know.
Like, if you were up there, would you not have said something?
I would have said something stupid. I don't know. I would have probably made some sort of a Han Solo quote or something.
You would like, probably...
Come on, baby, hold together.
Or you would have been like, hey, kid injury, you want to get your dick sucked? And
just... I'm going to fuck you when I get down there. You know, the ush.
I mean, you got to say something at that moment. Because he's at the highest... free fall flight ever. He's at the highest balloon flight ever, highest manned balloon flight ever. Like, you gotta say something.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have to like it. I'll agree with you, but I don't have to like it.
Oh, yeah. And then so he's just on this little platform where he's just standing there. He makes a little speech. And then he just kind of like does a little hop off. And then he just falls. And he just falls towards Earth, and I'm like, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought he would like dive. Like, I thought I was waiting for him to like swan dive off of the thing.
Well,
but
I guess part of the thing was, and part of the commentary from the sports guy, and I call him the sports guy because like that's his voice.
Yeah,
the same guy that would be like, oh, and another double play for the Sox, was going like, oh, and he'll just go through a couple gentle rolls, and everything will be fine.
I mean, I know he had to do it so that he wouldn't, like, go into some ridiculous spin.
But he spun anyway. Like, the guy was like, well, you know, we're expecting a couple gentle rolls. From previous practice ones, he went through a couple gentle rolls, so it'll be fine. And then you watch him, and they had to do it from, like an infrared camera at first because no other camera could pick him up at that distance.
Yeah.
But then as you started to see like more of a figure instead of a dot, you could tell he was just like spinning constantly because the air's so thin, he has nothing to push against.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I didn't even really think of that. Like, it's probably hard to, you can't really balance yourself out, you know?
Yeah. And he's trying to communicate with the ground, but there was obviously a problem with communications. So like at least they heard him and they were happy with hearing him. But like they couldn't understand what he was saying. And I felt kind of bad because he didn't break the longest free fall record.
Yeah.
In terms of time. I think he panicked because he couldn't tell where he was at and they couldn't understand him asking where he was at. And his
maybe because he has an accent.
No, it was like the communications were really breaking up.
Yeah.
But also I think his faceplate, whatever it was fogging up real bad, so he couldn't see anything.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he was starting to panic that he was getting too close and he would have a hard time pulling his chute.
Oh.
Because I think he missed it by just like a few seconds. I think like 10 seconds. Although he did fall at a rate at one point of over 800 miles per hour.
It's ridiculous.
He broke Mach 1. He traveled faster than the speed of sound.
That's absurd. I can't even fathom that, traveling that fast.
Yeah.
Especially not in something.
Yeah, and it was probably at the point where he was spinning the most that he was traveling that fast. So, like, can you imagine that? Like, just spinning around. I can't imagine that. And then finally he pulls his chute and he starts coming down. And he's trying to figure out where the wind is coming from.
Yeah.
Because obviously he has no orientation.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, you spin around that many times, you have no fucking idea.
Yeah, so he's asking.
Plus, you're landing in the desert. There's not much of a landmark.
Yeah. He's asking them, and they're telling him different things. And they're like, it's coming from the east. No, no, I'm sorry. It's coming from the north. No, no, the east. No, the north. No, it's going to the ridge. No, no, it's coming from the ridge. So obviously people screwed up.
Is that what happens when a energy drink sponsors your
jump? Yes. I'm going to say yes. But the most amazing part about it was the landing. Because, and my fiance described it best, she goes, it's as if he just jumped out of a bed onto the floor. Like he planted himself and that was it. Like he didn't like land and then continue walking. Like he didn't land and roll. Like he just landed and then he was down.
Yeah. I saw that.
I was like, that's amazing. He totally just stuck the landing. People jumping from like, you know, the balance beam in the Olympics don't stick the landing as well as he just did. And he fell from space.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a smooth landing, especially, you know, when considering.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of wish I watched the whole thing, but, yeah, I just, I don't know, didn't have the time.
I mean, it really took a while for him to get up there, too.
Now, did you watch it from the beginning?
Pretty much
the beginning?
I had it on since he started going up. I wasn't paying attention the whole time. Like, I had the TV on, but I was going around doing other stuff, and I was doing stuff on the computer and stuff. So I wasn't, really watching it the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, I went, I took a shower, I did other stuff, I had lunch and stuff while I was waiting for this to happen, but...
Sounds like you could have taken a nap and pounded off, too.
I mean, probably. It took him 2 hours to get up there.
I was really hoping you were going to be like, and I did.
But yeah, he landed and then he fell to his knees and threw his hands up and I was saying that my mom should do that. And I was like, listen, mom, like, you're worried about getting on a plane. This guy just jumped from space, so.
Yeah, come on, Colleen.
I told her that. She was like, oh, yeah, you're right. She thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, and even I don't even think getting hurt is really the issue. I think it's dying. You're either dead or you're not.
Yeah, you know, I think if I went up and I came down and I landed and I was alive and I like broke a leg or something like that, I would still call that a win.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a win. Because if you made it down, it's a success.
Even if I broke both legs, I'd be like, hey, I won.
Yeah. You'd still probably get a lot of action out of it.
Yeah.
You know, even despite the two broken legs.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to be on bottom.
Right.
At least until the legs heal, but...
But that guy's the man, so he probably takes the bottom anyways.
So yeah, man jumped from outer space, and my mom flew on a plane, so...
I mean, that's quite the eventful week.
It was a pretty big... It's been a pretty big couple days.
Pretty big.
So in preparing for this this episode, though, I told you that I had something that we could revisit.
Yeah.
Partially sparked by some people kind of randomly downloading episode 7.
Okay.
The Jonathan Lee Riches episode with the Kardashians having a sex tape with a unicorn.
Oh yeah, one of my favorites.
So I looked to see what else this guy had been up to. And I guess lately he slowed down a little bit in filing outrageous claims, although possibly not. But that's something I'm gonna hold off for a minute here. But I was looking back at previous lawsuits.
Okay.
And I found a pair of them that actually tells a little bit of a narrative of what goes on in his so-called life. Or what he believes is happening to him.
Yeah.
There was another one that I really wanted to try and find the complaint for, but I couldn't. So I'm going to do a little more research and see if I can find that one. Because that one will be fantastic if we can talk about that one. But I thought we would talk about his suing of Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood?
Yes.
Why would anyone – well, you know what? I was just going to ask, why would anyone sue her? But I'm looking to find out.
I'm gonna say that whatever you think could be the reason, you're wrong.
Yeah, probably.
You know,
because I can't think of any good reason to sue her.
Was it because she had like a 12-year-old boy on stage and gave him his first kiss, and it was weird?
Yeah, but she's hot.
Yeah, but she's like 30 and he's like 12.
I'd take it.
I mean, yeah, so, but this was actually in 2007, so this is going back a while.
All right. I don't even know if I knew who Carrie Underwood was in 2007.
Well, I think this was when she had just won American Idol.
Oh, right. That's how she became famous. Yeah. I forgot.
This is partially based on my reading of this, but let's see. Now, what I like is that at the top part where he says where it lists him as the plaintiff, Jonathan Lee Riches copyrighted. He does a little copyright simple. CEO of Identity Theft Row Records.
Identity Theft. Oh, all right. Continue. I don't even want to.
So that he declares himself as the CEO of that, which I don't think is a real record company. Then he lists some legal stuff, which I won't get into, but he's suing for $35 million. That's the important part.
Oh, nice. It must be a real legit case.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, it's this complaint is handwritten, so you know it's serious.
Oh, yeah.
I read another one that wasn't as interesting, where at the bottom he wrote, due to typewriter limitations, this has been handwritten. So I guess at some point they took his typewriter away, and then he had to start handwriting his lawsuits.
I hope he had to, like, sell his typewriter for money or something.
Well, no, because he was in jail at this point still. I think they took I think they wouldn't let him have a computer. And then they gave him a typewriter. And he had a typewriter. And then they took the typewriter away from him.
All right.
He probably went to like an electric typewriter, and they were like, damn, we really got to slow this guy down because he just keeps suing everybody. So they made him go to like an old 1920 typewriter that was a little bit harder. And he really had to like push on the keys to get it to go. And finally they were like, you know, this isn't working. Let's just give him a pen and paper.
And he still went ahead and did it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what? He's got stick-to-itiveness. I'll give him that.
Yeah. I mean, he can't learn how to spell, but he can write.
He's still a piece of garbage.
Yeah. These are the charges. Number one, a mega conspiracy. Underlined. On May 2005, Carrie Underwood bribed American Idol judges Simon and Paula. She got my co-defendant, Carpenter, to hack into phone lines to rig votes.
Oh.
So right there, I mean, besides saying she got my co-defendant, Carpenter, which I have no idea what that means, to hack into phone lines, I don't know who he's talking about, but he's saying that she might have cheated to win American Idol.
Well, that's a legitimate complaint.
That seems reasonable too. But on the next line, still part of number one, it says Estonia got hacked too.
Estonia as in the country?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
So apparently she hacked Estonia to get people to vote for her in America.
I mean, I just figure Estonia is just a hotbed for American Idol viewers.
I mean, they fucking love their country music, too.
Oh, yeah, of course.
She thinks my tractor's sexy, still number one hit. They fucking love it. Number two for the charges or claims or whatever. August 4th, 2007. Underwood's current hit songs are copyrighted material of Jonathan Lee Riches. Would you like to hear the titles?
Please.
Issued Vic got on the news quick.
That's the name of a song?
Yes. Issued, spelled with one S, Vic, V-I-C-K, which I believe is a reference to Michael Vick.
Okay.
Who he also sued.
Yeah, because it's not short for Victor, because that would be C. Yeah. Although this guy can't spell, so what the hell do I
maybe
know?
Maybe he was suing the Victor from Total Recall. I don't know.
I'm not going to make any assumptions. Well, I'm going to have to at some point, but I won't.
that was one of her hit songs, which I don't remember. All Truth in My Lawsuits.
Huh. Is that really the name of one of her songs?
No, none of these are.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't follow country music that much. But I can't see a country song called Issued Vic Got on the News Quick or All Truth in My Lawsuits.
I can maybe see the All Truth in My Lawsuits. Maybe.
I mean, what would come after that? Like, what would the song be for All Truth in My Lawsuits?
I don't know.
My dog died. I drank whiskey.
Lost a truck.
I love America.
The porch collapsed on the trailer.
But I still got All Truth in My Lawsuits.
And I don't know.
And I love sweet tea, too. Third, there's one more hit song that she stole from him.
Okay.
It is called Jonathan Lee Riches, He Delicious.
That's all that he came up with?
It's not even proper English. It sounds like a Fergie song. Delicious. But that was a song that he wrote apparently about himself. because it's copyrighted him, so he must have written it about himself. But Carrie Underwood stole it.
Yeah, she's making a lot of money off it, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay, but I like the club remix version of it better.
Well, I like the other version, Jonathan Lee Rich's Too Big for His Britches. See, literally all he had to do was take 2 seconds and come up with a better title. It took me 2 seconds to come up with that. He could have done that, but he's stupid.
I didn't even think of that.
Like, that just shows how dumb he is, that the name he came up with was what he said.
Wow, that is fantastic. I think I might make that the title of this episode. Just so he can search his name, see us, and then sue us.
Oh my god, he totally would. I hope so. Sue me for libel, you piece of garbage.
Number 3. Carrie Underwood is unpatriotic. June 7th, 2007. These are the charges against her. Underwood text messages the Dixie Chicks.
Oh, man.
Underwood serenades for communist soldiers.
Communist soldiers? Where? North Korea?
I guess so.
It's either that or it's Cuba.
Do they really have troops?
Oh, Cuba?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess they would. I guess they must, you know.
Probably not that many, but I'm sure they have a couple.
Underwood burns her bra at concerts.
Oh, man, yeah. She's one of them 60s chicks.
And she got an arm tattoo of the Berlin Wall.
Is any of this true?
I'm going to say no. I mean, she might send a text message to the Dixie Chicks. That I can't say for sure. But I have not heard her of serenading communist soldiers, burning her bra at concerts, or getting an arm tattoo from the Berlin Wall. She's also friends with Cindy Sheehan.
I'm not sure who Cindy Sheehan is.
She was the mom of a soldier, I think. I was trying to remember, and I meant to look it up, and I forgot. She was somebody that was speaking out against Bush, I think.
Oh.
Back in the day.
How dare she?
Yeah. Number 4. On the charges list. June 28th, 2007. So a mere 14 days later, Carrie Underwood threatens me daily, every day, minute, second, with body harm by Tony Romo, cowboys, and a few Indians.
Indians.
So Carrie Underwood apparently shows up at his house and has Tony Romo, cowboys, a few Indians. He doesn't say what kind of Indians, though. I'm assuming it would be like Native Americans, but
yeah. And I'm assuming he means Dallas Cowboys,
I'm assuming he means actual cowboys.
Legitimate cowboys?
Yeah, I think he means like cowboy. I mean, she's a country star, so I think he means actual cowboys.
It's kind of confusing.
I think she's showing up at the house.
Brings Tony Romo into it.
Yeah. I think she shows up at the house with, maybe she shows up at the house with like Willie Nelson, but that would be very peaceful because Willie Nelson would be baked out of his mind.
That's true, but he might also speak out against the Bush administration.
That's true. But you're right. Maybe a few Indians, he just was threatened by a few members of like the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, you don't want that.
I mean, I don't know how much power they really have being the Cleveland Indians, but
yeah, no one really gives a shit.
I'm surprised he recognized them to begin with, but
yeah, I mean, other than their mascot there with the giant teeth. Chief Nakahoma.
Let's see. August 10th, 2007, Carrie is pen pals with Andrea Yates. I forget who Andrea Yates is, too.
Oh, that's the woman from Houston that drowned all her kids in the bathtub.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, she won the Mom of the Year award that year.
Mm. Carrie Underwood – this is charge number five, by the way. Carrie Underwood's cigarette lighter has been starting Greek fire.
Wait, what kind of fire?
Greek.
Greek fire?
Yeah. Hang on. It says starting.
Isn't that the pain you feel after anal sex?
I thought that was the shit that you were supposed to be like unable to put out, that they would fling from one ship to another, like in ancient Greece. I mean, maybe the new term is for anal sex pain, but I don't know. I don't see how a cigarette lighter could do that. But it says lighter has been starting Greek fire, another unpatriotic conspiracy.
What the hell could she possibly be lighting on fire?
His anus? I don't know. Charge number six. Underwood. Oh, God. this part I actually like. Underwood committed identity theft espionage.
That is not a word.
Yes, but I'd like the invention of the word thefbionage. I feel like it should be a word.
It's the most creative thing I've heard the guy say.
Exactly. Well, no, it's not the most creative thing I've heard the guy say, but it's the most acceptable creative thing the guy has said.
Okay.
Because some of this shit is pretty creative.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
So she,
I
she
mean, or it's just ravings of a lunatic.
So she committed identity theft espionage, and she picks on blind workers at Walmart too.
Picks up.
No, she picks on. She picks on them. She picks on them like they're bullies. Like she bullies.
Picks. I thought you meant like picks up. I was like, what is it? Like labor ready?
No, she just actually goes over and picks them up and carries picks them someplace else.
She picks up a few blind guys and then takes advantage of them.
No, she picks them up, takes them to another part of the store, sets them down so they're blind, so they have no idea where they are.
She leaves them in the fucking home goods section and tells them they're over at layaway and they can't get out.
She videos it.
I'm sorry, it's so stupid. How the hell is that a complaint about anything?
I've never seen a blind person working at Walmart ever.
Like, I know that they hire, like, some special needs people, and that's great. You know, people need to work, and it's good that they're employed. But what the hell would blind people be doing at the fucking Walmart?
I mean, it'd be hard for them to be greeters because they wouldn't know exactly when somebody's walking in.
Couldn't be a greeter. You couldn't be a cashier. You're not working at the vision department.
You couldn't be a security guard.
Couldn't be a security guard. You're not working at electronics because people are just going to be walking out with fucking TVs. I wouldn't have you work in the outside section with any of the tools. I don't know.
But apparently somewhere there are blind people working at Walmart and Carrie Underwood is picking on them. Or picking them up. We're not sure which.
She's picking them up. Hey, you want a good time?
Number seven, I think, might be my favorite. I'm going to try to say this without laughing. Number seven.
Oh, my God.
Two.
You fail.
It's so bad. Two Milli Vanilli lookalikes. Two Milli Vanilli lookalikes jumped me in the prison rec yard and stole my larynx under Carrie's direct orders.
Two Milli Vanilli lookalikes.
Oh, God.
Now, I also like that he considers this a First Amendment speech violation. I was denied access to the Country Music Awards. Underwood put my head in a vice in Miami.
Was she Joe Pesci?
Federal Williamsburg guards, which I'm assuming is the prison that he's in. Federal Williamsburg guards wear cowboy hats and spurs.
Do we know what state he's in?
I forget. Well, actually, no. When he signs it, he says, I missed this part too, but when he signs, he's in South Carolina, but I think it says federal, or I think it's, maybe it's FCL. Oh, FCL is Williamsburg, but that's part of his signature. After he signs, okay, his name, his inmate number. But preliminary injunction restraining order, plaintiff moves to stop all satellite viewing of the Country Music Channel in this universe.
In this universe?
Stop John Schwartz from USA Today from giving Carrie credit in my name.
Oh, my God.
Now, this part is also amazing because I didn't notice it. Respectfully, he signs his name, and then he puts a postage stamp over that. And then he puts a postage stamp underneath it, and next to it he writes, stamps of approval. Unfortunately, the quality is so bad I can't see what stamps they are.
What a piece of work this guy is.
I really hope they're Christmas stamps, though.
They're just like United States postal stamps?
Yeah, that's what they look like.
What they're the a right fucking jackass.
They're the right size.
Stamps of approval? The fuck are you talking about?
So you want to hear his next lawsuit, which kind of ties in.
Yes.
This is Jonathan Lee Rich's versus Orenthal James Simpson, a.k.a. O.J.
Yes.
Simpson, and Ryan Seacrest, the American Idol host.
Oh, they are co-defendants?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Let's see. Skip the legal stuff. Charge one. O.J. Simpson and Ryan Seacrest are in a major conspiracy with Carrie Underwood, country music singer from Oklahoma, to destroy my life and stop me from whistleblowing in Carrie Underwood's civil trial for copyright infringement in Oklahoma. He's talking about his lawsuit that he just filed, which I'm sure was thrown out like the next day.
Yeah, because some poor fucking judge actually had to sit down and look at it for 10 seconds.
Yeah. Let's see. Charge 2. In January 2005, I was hired by Dick Clark of American Bandstand to spy.
Of American Bandstand. He hasn't hosted that show in like 40 fucking years.
Which makes the next part even better. To spy on the filming and taping of Fox American Idol, which was Dick Clark's chief rival.
Oh, really?
Yes, apparently. I didn't realize that they were on at the same time.
Oh, you didn't realize that American Bandstand was still going strong?
I didn't know. I didn't know that.
Oh.
It's probably on like channel 913. That's why I didn't know.
Yeah, that's why.
It's on a channel only accessible in his head. American Idol was the number one rated show on the planet, and it knocked American Bandstand and and The Gong Show out of business.
The Gong Gong Show, again, has not been on the air in like 30 years.
Probably more.
Oh my god, this guy is such a piece of shit.
Clark hired me to be his private investigator to go to American to go to American Idol events to study their blueprints. Now, this next part is somewhat believable. In February 2005, at an American Idol filming in Tallahassee, I witnessed host Ryan Seacrest and Carrie Underwood engaged in a secret relationship backstage.
Okay.
All right, maybe. I would also follow around Seacrest and Underwood after each show from February 20th until May 15, 2005. This part, I'm not so sure about. They were seen together at the Super 8 Motel 3 times and Applebee's.
Oh, get out of here.
They got that 2 entree and an appetizer and dessert meal for only $25.
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest was going to town on the fucking molten lava chocolate cake.
Although, if two major celebrities were having a secret relationship, wouldn't Super 8 Motel and Applebee's be the best place to go? Because no one would expect to see them there.
I mean, the Super 8 Motel, definitely. Applebee's, I don't even know. I feel like we'd hear about that.
I mean, if they dress down, people might go, hey, are you? Nah, you couldn't be. Why would he be here? Why would he be at Applebee's?
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. Why would anyone go to Applebee's, really?
On May 2nd, 2005, I put a secret recording device that I got from New England Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Oh, of course.
On Carrie Underwood's t-shirt before she met with host Seacrest. On May 2nd, 2005, at 8:32 p.m., I recorded Underwood begging Seacrest to have someone rig the American online telephone votes for American Idol so Carrie Underwood would win. Ryan Seacrest told her he will take care of it and hire my hacking co-defendant Jason Michael Carpenter to rig the votes. So I'm thinking, I guess that was the Carpenter that he was talking about in the previous one.
Okay.
And then it just says Carrie Underwood won American Idol.
Oh, that's it? There's no more details?
Well, in that. Now, in charge 4, it says that he filed a lawsuit for for copyright infringement and American Idol vote rigging, which we just read. And then on September 18th of 2007, the day after he filed it, Carrie Underwood contacted Ryan Seacrest to do something to prevent me from whistleblowing. This is where it gets good. Seacrest told Underwood that he will secretly get his hitman friend O.J. Simpson out of jail and pay O.J. Simpson to come to the jail where I'm at and silence me.
So he's going to break into jail to kill this maniac.
Apparently.
Okay.
Charge number 6. I'm scared of O.J., Seacrest, and Underwood. I don't know what kind of harm they are capable of inflicting on me, but I'm very sick with bowel problems.
Oh, fantastic.
I weigh 125 pounds at 5 foot 10 inches. I can submit pictures upon request.
Was this a Craigslist ad?
Apparently so. Let's see. Plaintiff moves for a restraining order against defendants forbidding them from coming to the prison. Plaintiff moves for the FCC to get phone records of the 2005 American Idol to see if the votes were rigged. I know phone volume can't handle that much traffic on a 5ESS switch. I compel this court to get American Idol's phone records under the Freedom of Information Act. Plaintiff prays for relief.
Oh my god. So do you think he watches American Idol while he's in prison?
Oh, of course. Well, here's the thing. I'm thinking he might miss an episode or two because he also has to watch American Bandstand.
Oh, that's true. And he's also getting attacked by Milli Vanilli lookalikes.
getting his larynx stone somehow. I think if a guy got jumped in a prison yard and got his larynx ripped out of him, we would have heard about it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe not in South Carolina. Not that shit like that doesn't come out of South Carolina, but that I don't know if I would have heard about it or you would have heard about it up here.
I don't know. I think it would have made news.
Yeah. Also, we looked up fucked up shit. So.
Well, true, know. But I mean, like, it's kind of a zombie related kind of thing. Like.
Yeah. You're right.
So, I think we would have heard about it. But then again, maybe that's why he needs to write everything down, because he can't speak. But then how did he write the songs? Like, Truth in All My Lawsuits.
I wish someone would just chop off his fucking hands.
Yeah, so O.J. Simpson also friends with Ryan Seacrest, so remember that.
Yeah, that's a hell of a duo.
I had no idea, but I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Can you picture those two hanging out?
No, I can't.
I mean, not right now, since OJ is himself incarcerated, but.
Well, then in that case, I mean, maybe they do hang out, and maybe Seacrest just puts his hand up against the glass during visiting hours.
Oh, yeah.
And OJ does the same, or Seacrest will open up a shirt and put his nipple against the glass.
Oh, that, it's mildly attractive. Not for Ryan Seacrest. Maybe if it was Carrie Underwood, I could do that.
No, it's Ryan Seacrest.
No, I know.
But you're O.J. Simpson in this scenario.
Oh, in this, I'm O.J.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was playing one of them.
but you put yourself in the role of being like, it's not that attractive. I mean, if it was Carrie Underwood.
I guess I did try to put myself in the spot. Yeah,
you kind of put yourself in that. But don't worry, because I'm apparently Ryan Seacrest, we'll say. And I apparently have enough sway in the world to get you out of prison. To get you to go kill a guy.
Yeah. I mean, huh?
Hey, if I can get two Milli Vanilli lookalikes, who were actually probably just Milli Vanilli.
Well, no, only one of them is still alive, I'm pretty sure. Okay. I don't know which one's dead, Milli or Vanilli.
When did the one die, though?
One of them committed suicide a few years ago.
He might have been alive during this, though.
Oh, so what are you trying to tell me? It's plausible?
This... Exactly.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Milli Vanilli was actually still alive.
They could have been alive. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. They could have been alive. They could have been in jail and then just killed this guy. Well, not killed him, just jumped him and stolen his larynx like they were stealing a pack of gum.
It's just simple theft. Oh. Good.
How many cigarettes do you think is a larynx is worth in jail? It's got to be worth a lot.
I would say about a pack. Really? About 20 cigarettes.
I was gonna say maybe a carton.
You think a whole carton of cigarettes?
Come on, a larynx?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're in jail. I feel like our definition of what it would cost to get someone to rip someone's larynx out are different than what it would cost in jail.
Well, see, it didn't say they ripped it out, so I'm thinking he had it, like, in his back pocket.
They just picked it up from him.
I mean, that's what he makes it sound like.
He already had it out.
Yeah. So this is actually almost breaking news. This was just in the news. Last couple days. I don't know. Now, there's different theories as to who this person is. My personal theory is that it is actually Jonathan Lee Riches. But would you...
Still too big for his britches.
Would you like to hear what he might be up to?
Yeah, please.
This is a lawsuit of Naomi Riches, also known as Naomi Leatherman, versus Casey Anthony.
Casey Anthony. Which one was she? Oh, the woman that killed his daughter?
Yeah, and was on Nancy Grace like all the time.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
Nancy Grace is constantly raving about her. Now, because of the lawsuit, people say that, and I guess this is, I think Jonathan Lee Rich has also made a statement that this person was his wife.
Uh-huh.
But I did a little checking. Nobody's done any research, and I don't know how to, and I didn't really care to put that much time into it, to see if there was, like, a marriage certificate or anything on record. I think it's just Jonathan Lee Rich's being nuts, because last time we talked about him, he filed all the shit under Gino Romano. So I think now he's just coming up with more names.
Oh, right. Gino Romano. I remember that.
Yeah. So Casey Anthony, though, is being sued by Naomi Riches for $3 billion.
Well, at least it's not outrageous.
Well, yeah, I mean, totally doable. Would you like to hear the statement of facts?
Yes, statement of facts. Okay, yeah.
Let me read you the first five words, or six words. Casey Anthony is an Illuminati actress.
Oh, all right. I see where this is going.
Who was used the summers of 2009 to 2011 to mock and harass my current circumstances.
Mock and harass my current circumstances?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
Casey Anthony and Nancy Grace are working in cahoots.
I'm sorry. Is the next word going to be in cahoots?
Yes.
I love that term. All right, continue.
Casey Anthony and Nancy Grace are working in cahoots with one another to fill the media with propaganda so that American citizens believe there is justice with a capital J.
Yeah.
Justice in this country. The media is lying, and these people are all actors for the Illuminati.
Why people need to get over the Illuminati thing.
Greg, I don't think so, because it is apparently very real.
It's a real problem.
I mean, people just don't file preliminary injunctions for restraining orders and suing, and they just don't do that for shits and giggles, or because they're fucking nuts. They do it because the Illuminati is real, and they're trying to protect good citizens like you and me. Would you like to hear what Casey Anthony did to this man or woman?
Yes.
Casey Anthony called my house August of 2011 and told me that my life was being exploited and that I was hated nationwide. She told me she would come to my house in Fort Collins, Colorado, and kill me just as they did Peggy Hetrick in 1987. And I forgot to look up who Peggy Hetrick was to see if that was even a real person.
I really hope it's, like, no one noteworthy. It's just it's just someone that died that she knows.
It was just somebody who very clearly, like, just had a heart attack. Oh, wait. Nope. It's a let's see. The Peggy Hetrick murder case concerns the unsolved 1987 death of Peggy Hetrick in Fort Collins, Colorado. And then there's a whole bunch of background on it. But I guess it was actually a an actual murder in that area. And looks like she was killed and mutilated and
so all the good stuff.
Yes. Actually, it sounds somewhat similar to the to like the Black Dahlia case.
Oh, okay.
I mean, cool. I'm just going based off of just this quick skim of Wikipedia, but because they had a quote from a doctor saying that it would require surgical precision. which they had said about the Black Dahlia. Let's see. She let me know. So this is Casey Anthony letting Naomi Richards know that my left eye would be stabbed out as a part of the Illuminati symbolism.
Oh. Wow. That's graphic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it could not be confused with symbolism for Nick Fury, who also had his eye removed, but... I'm sure that's not what they were thinking of. She also told me that the government was going to find a way to tap into my water pipes and poison my water supply.
Huh. And Casey Anthony has jurisdiction over any of this?
Well, I think Casey Anthony was a part of a bigger scheme because, I mean, the Illuminati was involved because the Illuminati wanted to target this woman who I've never heard of until now.
Okay, right. Okay, makes sense.
So, yeah, so they're targeting her. So who knows how far up the ladder this could go? All right.
I mean, Joe Biden could be involved for all I know.
He could be. He could be. He could be an actor for the Illuminati.
Yeah. Why not?
And I mean, apparently, not having a left eye is also symbolism for the Illuminati. So let me just say, don't trust anyone that doesn't have a left eye.
I never do.
Which eye was Columbo missing? Which eye was fake for Columbo?
Was it? I think
Columbo might have been an Illuminati actor.
I don't know. I wanted to say his right eye, but I might just be saying that.
Sammy Davis Jr. too.
Oh boy, Sammy Davis Jr. was missing an eye.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Should I have known that?
Yes. I don't know.
I guess I'm not up on all my famous people missing eyes.
I mean, we've exhausted the two that I know.
Yeah, Peter. I mean, I knew Columbo.
Yeah.
What about Chuck Berry? Did he have both eyes?
I think he did.
Yeah, he also had cameras in the bathroom.
Yes. Have you ever seen the video clip of him singing with John Lennon and Yoko Ono?
No.
I think I've put it up on Facebook or Twitter a couple times. There's a clip. I'll find it. I'll post it again. Maybe I'll put it up on our Facebook page. But she starts doing that Yoko Ono singing.
Oh, yeah. Goddamn terrible.
Just the, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
they flash to Chuck Berry for an instant, and his eyes get real wide, and he has the look of like, holy fucking shit, what the fuck is going on right now? And I love it.
Oh, Yoko Ono, what a piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome that he's singing a shot with John Lennon, but just seeing him make that face when Yoko Ono opens her mouth, fantastic.
Ah, oh, she was so terrible.
She gave Lady Gaga the Peace Award.
Oh, yeah?
Some kind of Peace Award. I don't know.
What the hell do you have to do to get that award? Be annoying?
I guess so. I don't know. I don't know what makes Lady Gaga deserving of it, but I also don't know. Yeah. I also don't know what makes Yoko Ono deserving of giving it out.
I don't like either of them.
I don't either.
I mean, I really don't like Yoko Ono, but yeah, whatever.
Anyway, they're all Illuminati actors.
Yeah, pieces of shit.
Let's see. So Casey Anthony was telling that the government was going to poison the water supply for Naomi Richards. She says, I was terrified to shower and drink water for months. I had to spend over $600 on bottled water.
What an idiot.
That is a lot of bottled water.
I mean, was she showering using the bottled water?
I don't believe so because of this next sentence. I took a flight all the way to Chicago just so I could take a shower away from my house.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
rather than going to a relative's house in the same town that you live in.
Mm-hmm. A ticket stub for Naomi Leatherman, July 2011, from Colorado to Chicago, is available upon request through American Airlines. So you couldn't even talk to her. You have to go through American Airlines to get the ticket.
Yeah, and that obviously proves that someone's poisoning her water.
Casey Anthony also told me that Hollywood made me into a celebrity without my knowledge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She told me that Hollywood was making trillions of dollars off of me without my knowledge.
Does this lady know how much $1 trillion is?
I don't think so. I mean, she's suing for $3 billion, so.
Oh, yeah.
She even went as far as to say that people, just regular people like you or me, were secretly taking pictures of her with their, in all quotes, or I'm sorry, in all caps, iPhones.
Oh.
While I was out in public so they could be put on tabloids outside of the false Truman Show environment I am being forced to live in.
Oh, I love the Truman Show reference. Amazing.
That is quite the cacophony of sentence structure. While I was out in public, so there people were taking pictures of her in public so we could put them in tabloids outside of the Truman Show environment that she was in. So she was in the Truman Show.
Yeah.
But people there were taking pictures of her, and then we were putting it out in tabloids outside of that?
Out in the real world.
Yeah.
As opposed to fantasy land.
Yeah. But here's my question. If she lives in a Truman Show environment, how did she get to Chicago?
It's a good question. I don't know how you take flights away from the Truman Show.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the Truman Show just the dome?
Yeah, he couldn't leave.
Yeah, I mean, he never wanted to leave, and then finally when he wanted to leave, there was like a bad storm and he couldn't leave.
Yeah, and he ended up getting to that wall.
Yeah, because finally they were – Ed Harris was like, all right, let him go.
Yeah.
And then everybody was out there, and the one woman that he fell in love with, even though it was all based on lies, was out there.
Yeah.
And then I think they just got together for some reason, even though it was all based on lies.
Yeah, yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Poor Truman.
Poor Ed Harris. He was out of a job.
Yeah. I feel like he made a lot of money off that thing, though.
I mean, really, you think about it, a lot of people lost their jobs due to the selfishness of Truman in that movie.
It's true. You think about it, they employed a lot of people.
Yeah, tons. First of all, all the people to run it. Second, all the people that were actors and had to basically give up their lives.
Yeah.
To be part of it, because it wasn't just like a normal show. I mean, I'm sure they got some time off to visit family or whatever outside, but
yeah. But if you played like his mom, like that was a lifetime gig.
Yeah, you were constantly there
until they killed you off.
Yeah.
I guess I wonder if maybe you could like opt out of your contract, and they'd kill you off on the Truman Show.
I guess so. Well, how did his dad leave? Did his dad die in that movie? I don't remember. I think his dad died. I think his dad died in a boating thing.
Yeah.
And that's why he didn't go in the ocean or whatever. I could be wrong. I could be just making that up. I think that's part of the reason that he wanted to go to Fiji, because his dad always talked about Fiji.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Yeah, it's been a while for me, too.
I've seen Rudy and Escape from New York more recently than I've seen that movie.
I've seen Escape from New York more recently than any of those.
Let's see. Back to her Truman Show environment, though. She told me that everyone brought into my life was an Illuminati actor who is trying to get a break in the industry. She told me that anyone who could act well enough to deceive me would get a key role in Hollywood somewhere. So maybe that's why people were in the Truman Show. Maybe it was the same thing. You know, maybe people were in the Truman Show in order to try and get their big break in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. They were willing to mess with some unknown woman in Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, it makes lots of sense.
This part's not so possible, though. She told me that there were cameras lodged in the back of my eyes and that my life is a reality show for the elite. With a capital E.
Well, wait, capital E on what? In reality?
No, elite.
Oh, sorry, didn't hear that part.
Yeah. Because of her, I suffer from severe psychological damage.
You don't say.
For months, I couldn't use the bathroom to go number one or two. Without thinking, there was some sick, wealthy pervert watching me through the cameras Casey Anthony claimed were lodged in the back of my eyes.
Oh, man. I bet this woman was so unattractive, too.
If this woman even exists. Casey is true. A sociopath who had a sick and twisted Cinderella fantasy with a man from Fort Collins, Colorado, who goes by the name of Marcus Neve. Their plan was to kill Kaylee, the daughter, and then me as an act of love for one another. The only reason Casey Anthony was able to become a part of the Illuminati is because she was labeled to lie her way out of prison for the death of her daughter. This is why she had government protection when she was released from prison. She is now a valuable asset to the Illuminated Ones. Plaintiff just wants victims' compensation for the emotional, psychological terror Casey Anthony has inflicted to her life. The end.
Now, do you think he prefers the Da Vinci Code book or movie? Or is she more into the angels and demons?
I think she likes the book, and I'll tell you why. I think she bought two copies, and I think she cut every page out and has them wallpapering her bedroom.
Yeah, that's definitely possible.
And she just stands.
She sounds like a fucking nut.
She stands in the middle, and then she sees things illuminate out of the pages, like in fucking Beautiful Mind.
Oh yeah, good reference.
So she just sees all that, and then she goes, "Oh my god, I put it all together." Because she saw like a old time magazine on the floor, and she was like, "Casey Anthony is the reason why. She is the reason why I have no friends and nobody likes me."
Yeah.
Except for my crazy husband, who also is in his room right now looking at pictures of Carrie Underwood, O.J. Simpson, Ryan Seacrest, and the Kardashians. But
I'm sure this woman also has, like, 8 cats. Just tons of cats.
Can you imagine if – let's say that this is an actual person – and she is actually married to Jonathan Lee Riches. Can you imagine if they ever have a kid?
Oh, the kid's fucked. I mean, there's just – like this person – if they ever had a kid, he would be like the most useless person in the history of humankind.
He would be worse than a blind person working at Walmart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would rather have the blind guy making keys in the Walmart hardware department.
Well, that's fine because the machine just does all the work. Maybe that's where blind people work.
Maybe that is what the blind people do. This machine makes it so easy, even a blind person can do it.
That's their ad on Monster.
Yeah. Oh, and they're selling the machines. Do you employ blind people?
Are you blind? Well, then how the hell are you looking at this website?
Enjoying this article?
You're not really blind, you fucking liar.
Are you having your dog read this to you?
Yeah, that kid would be fucked up, though.
Yeah, not for me.
Because he would be like, Mom, Dad, why is the sky blue? And they would be like, well, son, a long time ago...
The government.
A long time ago, there was a man named Jesse Ventura. And he was actually the real president of the United States. But two Milli Vanilli lookalikes rigged the voting and made Barack Obama the winner. My co-defendant, the carpenter, rigged the voting on election day, and Barack Obama became president. So Jesse Ventura said, I like a blue sky. Or, I'm sorry. I like a blue sky. And the son's like, cool, because he doesn't know any better.
No, and so then he's going to go out, and he's going to tell all his stupid friends at school what he heard from his father.
Well,
and they're all going to laugh at him.
I don't know. And would he go to school? I think he would be homeschooled.
Oh, you're right. He probably would be homeschooled.
Because all the teachers are members of the Illuminati. Maybe the kid goes to school in Chicago, and they have him fly daily from Colorado to Chicago to go to school.
I don't know. I feel like that they would have some sort of an issue with the airlines.
Well, she went to Chicago to take a fucking shower.
Oh, yeah.
Because there were no showers that she could possibly use closer than Chicago.
Yeah, no, there's not that many people in Colorado. It's very sparsely populated.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any showers there other than her own.
Yeah, and I mean, all the states surrounding Colorado are pretty sparse, too. There's not anybody living in them. It's a wasteland.
Pretty much.
It's pretty much like Mad Max.
Yeah.
That's what's in the Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas.
It's so, just wasteland.
Yeah, I mean, really, the next place would be Chicago.
Yeah, so. Not a shower to be found.
Yeah, I mean, not even any of the other places in Illinois, just Chicago.
Yeah, well, what, there's other places in Illinois?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure Springfield?
Nope.
Isn't that where Lincoln is from?
Yeah, it is.
I think there's also a Metropolis in Illinois.
Really?
Yeah, I think they have a big Superman statue.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know if they named it Metropolis for Superman or not, but we will say that they did.
Yeah, why not? I'll accept it.
So that's what our friend Jonathan Lee Riches has been up to, and with any luck, he will be suing us very soon.
Can't wait. Bring it on, Riches.
And I imagine that if he did, it would very quickly get thrown out.
Yeah, well, I don't know what he'd sue us for.
You know what?
A month from now, we're sitting in court.
Under charges of being Illuminati assholes.
Well, in your case, he'd be right. At least for the asshole part.
He sues us for being two Beastie Boy impersonators.
Just a couple of dickheads.
And we go, Your Honor, you're right. We are both dickheads. I don't think that's a crime, though.
And go ahead. You sue me for $1 million. I don't have it.
Yeah, you really want to sue me for $1 million? Fine. Because you know what? I think if this were to actually go to court and there was actually some kind of settlement, we would probably become famous off of it. So,
well, I mean, it might be at least worth a couple podcast lessons.
Podcast lessons?
I don't know.
You mean like episodes?
Well, I wanted to say views, but that wasn't going to work.
Oh, you said listens?
Yeah.
I thought you said lessons.
No.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, it would be worth some listens. That's what I'm saying. I think we would get famous off of it. I think we could turn it into our own reality show.
I don't know. Maybe. You know what? I'm open to the idea.
You're open to a reality show?
I'm open to a reality show based on anything. As long as there's the potential that I can take my pants off.
Yeah, I mean, they'll have to blur it out, but...
That's fine. They can use a very small little blur.
Very small black bar. All right. Well, once this episode airs, we'll talk to Ryan Seacrest and Carrie Underwood and see what they can do for us.
I can't wait. I can't wait to be attending the Grammys.
I can do without attending the Grammys since they're wrong so much.
They are literally the most useless award show.
Yeah. As we pointed out, or as I think you pointed out specifically, the Baha Men have won more Grammys than the Beatles.
Yeah, or at least the same amount. I don't know. If they have one, they have the same amount. If they have two, they have more.
I think it was more.
Yeah, it was something disgusting like that.
This is going to be an extra long episode.
I like it extra long. And this has been... But You're Wrong.
You can continue.
You want me to continue?
Go. We might as well just end out on that note.
I am Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bodela.
And check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/butyourewrong. And check us out on Twitter at BYW Podcast. Have a great week, everyone.